Welcome to the San Francisco Public Library Commission meeting for October 16th, 2025. The time is 4:35. I'm Margot Schaub, and I serve as the Commission Affairs Analyst. This meeting is being held in person in the main library Corret Auditorium, and members of the public can observe the meeting using Zoom by following the link in the library's event calendar or by calling 1-877-853-5247 and entering ID number 10487431. Members of the public who attend the meeting in person may provide public comment for up to 2 minutes for each discussion or action item on the agenda. Library commissioners in attendance are President Connie Wolf, Vice President Pete Wong, Commissioners Lopez and Bolander.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, and welcome to the October 16th, 2025 meeting of the San Francisco Public Library Commission. We welcome everyone who's with us here in Corret Auditorium, and we also welcome our virtual audience over Zoom. We will begin with the Ramaytush Ohlone Land Acknowledgement. The area now known as San Francisco is the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone peoples of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the original peoples of this land, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place. We recognize that we benefit from living, working, and learning on their traditional homeland. As uninvited guests, we affirm their sovereign rights as First Peoples and wish to pay our respects to the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community. For today's meeting, all of the materials are available on the Library Commission website or at the back of the auditorium here. Today we have a total of 5 agenda items, and as usual, we will begin with general public comment. This is a moment for members of the public attending the meeting here in Corret Auditorium to address the Commission on items of interest that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Commission. If any members of the public have items that they want to discuss in relationship to the agenda items, you can save those comments for when those agenda items come up. Otherwise, this is a moment for you to address any issues pertaining to our jurisdiction. So general comment is now open here in Corret Auditorium.
Hello, library leaders. My name is Emily Garvey. I'm the executive director of Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. Friends is pleased to once again be participating in Lit Crawl, the city's annual literary festival hosted by Litquake. Our event will be themed this year, Future Ghosts and Family Heirlooms, and will take place on Saturday, October 25th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Et Al on Mission Street. Our event will feature Lisa Brown and Daniel Handler residents this year, Kelly Daly, Kevin Dublin, Ash Huang, and Maya Kinney. The event will showcase humor, speculative fiction, poetry, and memoir writing. Our book sale is coming up also this month, actually at the beginning of next month, on Friday, November 3rd, at the Donation Center in Potrero Hill. There will be great books and great deals as always. Friends is also kicking off our annual fundraising campaign toward the end of this month, which is our single most important fundraising effort of the year. And we are also continuing to fundraise for the renovation campaigns of the Mission and Chinatown branches. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Other further public comment?
Good afternoon. Peter Warfield, Executive Director, Library Users Association. We can be reached without getting hacked at P.O. Box 170544, San Francisco, California, 94117-0544. I have 3 concerns that have to do with the safety of library users, as well as, in some cases, the library itself. The first is that the library is uncritically touting and pushing people to take part in various aspects of the internet, including most particularly social media. Those have been pointed out by many people, public officials like Kamala Harris, former President Biden, the U.S. Surgeon General, and insiders like Francis Haugen, who testified at the Senate 3 years ago, and to newspapers regarding the Facebook prioritizing profits over safety. The library shouldn't be touting those things unconditionally, as it does repeatedly in publicity and so on. It should at least, at a very least, alert prospective users to the increasingly known dangers. Second, the library desperately needs a privacy audit or privacy review so that it can make sure that it is following and protecting the standards of the American Library Association, ethical standards regarding privacy, that is the confidentiality of patron records. And third, contingency planning. There is, I've never seen a fire drill at the library in any place. I think that contingencies these days, potential problems, are many more than before.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment from participants here in Corrett Auditorium? Seeing there's no further public comment, this agenda item of general public comment is now closed. And we will move on to item number 2 on the agenda, which is discussion and possible action to approve the September 18th, 2025 commission meeting minutes. We will open it up for public comment before our commission discussion on this item. Public comment is now open here in Corrett.
Peter Warfield, Executive Director, Library Users Association. Library users at P.O. Box 170544, San Francisco, California, 94117-0544. I'm not going to comment on specifics of these minutes. They do, as before, a very poor job of representing or summarizing, as required by law, what I have said, and it has done that repeatedly over and over again. Specifics that I have talked about with respect to problems and dangers of social media and the internet. Other specific comments. I make corrections, I ask you for corrections, I point out problems, and you typically do nothing. I think that's dishonest. I don't think that you should be party to dishonest minutes. I think you should be doing a conscientious job of providing minutes that help people understand what has gone on at the Library Commission, including your own discussions and deliberations, your own decisions. And certainly what's specifically required by law, which is to provide a summary of what the public has said when they make public comment. You're not doing that. Listen to the audio, listen to the, watch the video, and you'll see that at any particular place where you have put a so-called summary of my comments, it's far from accurate, it's far from even an attempt at completeness, and it leaves out very important specifics that I have said, often making the thing unintelligible or losing the point. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further public comments on this agenda item? Seeing there's no further public comment's now closed on item number 2, the September meeting minutes. And I now turn it over to the commission. And this is an opportunity for us to review the minutes and to approve them. Commissioner Bolander.
Yeah, just one thing on page 3, underneath human resources update. There's a typo. It should be COVID, not COVID. Other than that.
Any other comments from the commissioners?
Lopez. On the same page, under one of my comments, it was professional development, not just development.
With these two comments, do we have a motion to approve the September 18th, 2025 meeting minutes with these two corrections, turning COVID into COVID and adding professional in front of development?
I move to approve the minutes for September 18 with the two amendments.
Seconded.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Lopez, seconded by Vice President Huang.
And I'll take the roll call. Commissioners, please say aye or no when I call your name. President Wolf.
Aye.
Vice President Huang.
Aye.
Commissioner Lopez.
Aye.
Commissioner Bolander.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously, and we now turn to item number 3. I'm excited about this item, personally, professionally, and always. This is about the wonderful program that takes a village, the entire system, this 2025 Summer Stride overview. So I turn it over to City Librarian Michael Lambert. Thank you.
Thank you, President Wolf, and good evening, Library Commissioners. Library staff appreciate this opportunity to report out on our wonderful community response to this year's Summer Stride, our annual summer learning, reading, and exploration program. I see Alejandro Gallegos, our community engagement manager, is here, and he is joined by Ileana Pulu, our acting youth services manager. Alejandro, take it away.
Shoot, you just did my first slide. Yeah. But cool. Great. Thank you for having us, because, again, it is also our pleasure to come and be able to share our biggest program of the year, which is Summer Stride. And yeah, Ileana, me. June, July, August, 3 months during the summer, that is our Summer Stride program. Like past years, it's been our learning goal is 20 hours. That includes reading, learning, listening, and library time. I'll draw your attention to the finishing prize, which, like for the last 10 years, has been a super cool tote with original artwork. But I think some of you commissioners were at the unveiling at a staff event in May where we unveiled the little tiny mini tote. Some of you might read the New York Times and heard my boss talking about the mini tote in there as we talked about getting more adults to participate. They were a big hit. That's probably the most exciting thing on this slide. My overzealousness with the artwork kind of covered up the online database, which should say Beanstack. If you participated in Summer Stride online, you used Beanstack. Tote bag, perfect, check. Okay. Some of the collateral that we produced that we found very popular this year are stickers. We made some really cool pencils. You all probably saw some of this, bookmarks. Two ways, when I said 20 hours, a couple of ways to do that. You can traverse the map that's there, but also you could do activity bingo right here. Here's the map. If you participated in Summer Stride with one of these, you had the option of going around that map, and every hour that you would read, you would color one of those in. But for the second time, we've done an activity bingo offering mostly adults and teens a different way to participate. We also got good feedback on that option. I'm happy we continued it. I'm looking forward to hopefully continuing it again next year. Oh, this is fun. Unless you took vacation for 3 months in the summer, if you were around the city, if you passed by a bus shelter, if you were on Muni, if you passed by some of our branches, you saw giant murals and advertisements and posters of Summer Stride. It's one of the fun things that you get to do walking around the city, seeing the work that your library puts out. So just wanted to show that. Probably not new to all of you. This year, we kind of crossed a nice round number, 30,000 signups. We thought it'd be fun to show like a little historical context of kind of those numbers. I'm also particularly proud of the green bar, over 20,000 finishers, almost 70% of people finishing this program. We asked participants a few questions, a survey, and this is the answers for these questions here. We think it's a great indication that we've been able to reach people. People engage with our libraries, come into our libraries, and use our resources. I think these high numbers hopefully indicate to you all that we're on the right track, that we are engaging our residents. Also part of the survey, we asked caregivers specifically. So if you are a caregiver, a parent, a grandparent, a nanny, we asked specific questions of you in that survey. And I think these questions, these answers here are representative of what people are saying. Is that it? Okay, now for the good stuff.
All right, thank you. He's not lying. This is the good stuff. So we had the privilege of working with illustrator Ken Pack, who we brought to a variety of public spaces thanks to our partnerships. These included a read aloud at Redwood Grove in McLaren Park with the Summermobile, an NPS trip to Muir Woods from Richmond Branch, events at SF MoMA and the Conservatory of Flowers Lawn in Golden Gate Park, as well as hanging out at the Mix and the main library. Ken is a local artist who youth and adults alike gravitated to at the events and was very generous with his time, as you can see that he traversed the city this summer with us. Here are a few highlights that showcase celebrations, STEM, and community. Every single library location bustled with presenters, performers, workshops, and book clubs that represented the Bay Area's unique culture, diversity, and community. Programming highlights included the Breakfast Project, more library and parks connections, live animals, insects, and cultural programming during the summer, continuing that proud tradition that we have during the school year. Pairing these events with our SFUSD SFPL recommended reads titles provided high quality learning experiences for all ages. Many families, summer camps, and school groups and community groups visited the library. We had over 1,900 events this summer for youth and family, with over 68,000 participants at those events. We had 400 class visits, so the library saw an additional 8,000 youth, and library staff were also at 52 outreach events and interacted with over 10,000 participants. All right, thank you for being patient. We've worked really hard to make an internship experience for youth that encourages youth voice, learning, and community. This summer, we had 53 Yell interns, youth engaged in library leadership at 17 locations that worked over 4,000 hours. Through our partnership with SF YouthWorks, the interns are paid an hourly wage. Once they complete all their deliverables, including their final project and paperwork, they are then eligible for a $500 college scholarship. They met Ken Pack, our illustrator, as well as author and photographer Barbara Ramos. They visited different library spaces and were taken on field trips to some of our partners like Arian Press, the International Library of Youth Writing, and the Graphic Arts Workshop. You'll see some of the quotes here that are from the teens themselves, and we're continuing to refine this Yale program under the leadership of Visitation Valley Youth Services Librarian Jess this past summer. We were able to ensure all the students were eligible for that college scholarship, and we contributed over $17,000 to K2C or scholar share accounts for these youth. You'll see the locations that participated this summer, as well as the high schools that were represented in addition to a homeschool. We also have our summer youth volunteers. We had 345 youth volunteers log over 5,000 hours. These youth are instrumental in signing up families for participating in Summer Stride. And we had about 10% of all of these youth at our final party here at the Mix in late July, which was fantastic to see. Our monthly raffles are an opportunity to celebrate our community with access to fun, high-quality experiences. We have tons of thanks for the generous institutions and agencies that are able to offer as a part of this campaign. The raffle tickets happen in person at every location and is a moment for the library visitors to meet staff and find out more about what's happening that day or week. Celebrations start in June with the hardest working staff in our libraries, communities, and neighborhoods. Pictured here are some of the teams from Shine Day, the first weekend of Summer Stride, to kick off the glory of books and events for all ages. From the displays to the artwork to the book recommendation and events, summers always shine here at our library. Finally, a thank you to our 2025 Summer Learning Committee, Michelle, our management liaison, and chaired by Alejandro Gallegos. Our largest programming sponsor, the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library, we couldn't do it without them, as well as our generous partners who contribute so much to building the successful summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ileana. Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you very much for that robust presentation. The numbers are pretty significant in all of the different aspects of it. Before we open this up to comments and questions and discussions at the commission level, we welcome the opportunity to have comments from the public. So public comment, general public comment is now open on this agenda item.
Peter Warfield, Executive Director, Library Users Association, P.O. Box 170544, San Francisco, California, San Francisco 94117-0544. Thank you very much for the presentation. It's always a pleasure to listen to what the library is doing and especially to have it in some level of detail, and in particular, this one, focusing as much as it does on books and reading. My primary comment would be that in general, I think that the publicity could be improved for this as well as for other library programs in this respect. It's possible to go into a library branch and, since there are many, many programs of all kinds, not really be able to comprehend what's happening. Overall, and in particular, if you have at the library, you can go through that. There's a huge number of programs. But what's happening today? What's happening this week? What's happening as an ongoing matter, as opposed to what's happening today? Quite a number of times I've chanced on a really excellent program that I was surprised I wasn't aware of, even though I go to the main library relatively often and branches as well. But I had no idea that something was happening that was of particular interest. You know, maybe I should spend more time, but the point is you have, for example, stuff up in the main library right now for November programs that are more than a month away, combined with something that might be happening next week. What about when I walk in and some friend of mine rushes out and says, do you know something's happening at the Corette? How about something that says what's happening today at the location where we're already at? Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment on agenda item number 3? Seeing no further public comment, public comment's now closed. And I now open this up for comments discussion at the commission level. Any? I had a couple. Did you want to go ahead? Please go ahead, Commissioner Lopez.
I just want to commend everyone who works on Summer Stride. It's definitely something that the city's known for, the library's known for. You walk, you take Muni, like you said, and you see families with their tote bags, with the books. I work in a public institution, and I see students carrying their tote bags. And out of curiosity, I ask, and like is enjoying hearing how much they enjoy, like the different programming and everything. And I know that it takes a village and it's a lot of work. I really like the partnerships that you have developed over the years with this program, and how you engage the youth with the economy as it is. A lot of youth do not have different ways to do programming, to learn new skills, to connect. So I really commend all the hard work that you've been doing every year. Like President Wolf said, this is like the fine report that everyone wants to hear, because it goes beyond like children. It's for adults. It's for families. So thank you to the committee. Thank you to the library staff for putting this, you know, this 3 months of fun. And you're right, Alejandro. If they missed it, it's because they haven't been in the city for 3 months. So it is on the buses. It's all over the city. Every year, the artists just bring a different touch to it. So thank you. I just have words of appreciation for all the work you do and for a programming that it's just excellent. So thank you.
Just to respond real quick to, I think I could have put a finer point on it earlier when you mentioned the work the committee does. We ask all of our locations to kind of pivot what they do the rest of the 9 months. As Ileana illustrated up here, we ask them to do all type, like a lot more STEM programming, a lot more indoor-outdoor programs, because that's what our patrons have said they want. So we've tried to accommodate that. And you're right, that means that our staff all around the system kind of switches up what they do. It's a lot of work for them. And to see like comments that our users have and the pictures of happy people and people at our libraries is really, you know, affirms what we're doing. And also, like, I don't know if our staff is here right now, but hopefully they see it. It is like them. Our committee can't plan these things and not have them do it. So I will stop beating this dead horse, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. I had a couple of questions and comments. First of all, I think it's, as Commissioner Lopez so kindly said, that what's happening for the youth with the YEL program and the youth volunteers, to me, is just really a really core feature of this program, because it really can transform these kids and give them opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have. And I just want to say how excited I am, Ileana, for the work that you're doing to create the new Youth Advisory Board, and also that we will now be having a Youth Poet Laureate. So this focus on, the library's focus on really getting youth and teens engaged in very innovative ways, I can only imagine how the new Youth Advisory Board will inform what really happens in Summer Stride for their peers. And I'm really excited to see what their voices bring to the table and how you can ensure that those perspectives are brought forward. So I just want to say thank you for that work. I'm sure it's not easy to get it all done, but we're really looking forward to both of those projects really launching. So thank you for that. I also just had a question, which is, what are your lessons learned? Where do you think you could do better? I mean, we're so proud of what you accomplish, but with any project, there's always some lessons learned and things that you say, you know what, next year, let's do it a little differently, or where do you think that next year you're going to put more attention in an area that you hadn't thought of? I'm just curious, because the program, those charts show, I mean, the percentage of participants completing has just been on the rise, and that is really exciting. But so I'm just curious.
I have something, because it's something that we look towards every year. And we've seen maybe incremental changes, but we'd really like to continue to approach it. And it's having more engagement with finishing the program. And to your previous comment with our teens, right? So our teens have, our teen programming statistics have changed over the years, where there's less engagement in maybe adult-created events for teens and more interest in teen-created events for teens. And teens looking for opportunity for a paid job or a volunteer opportunity or something like that. So that in and of itself has shown like that's where the engagement is and that's where we could look to learn from. So by building on that, considering we want more people to participate and we want the people participating to be able to finish, so more engagement. How we're going to get there is definitely a staff effort, and we're thinking about kind of different ways to combine forces with partners, with different staff, our parks, other beloved institutions to see how that could happen and then to measure the approach and make sure that it's done in a sustainable way. So that's one that I thought, but Alejandro, do you have another?
Two quick ones, one kind of specific and one a little bit more broad. We got feedback from users who wanted to experience summer outdoors and with their families. So this year we tried to provide more of that. That came in ways like doing programming at Golden Gate Park like every week or being out there every week, every Monday. Doing like small business walking tours around neighborhoods. We had like different birding programs throughout different of our locations. And that was really a response to like, how can we figure out how to do library programming? And also during the summer, have it outdoors when I want to do it with my kids or parents or families, but still experience this type of programming. It doesn't have to be indoors at our location. So that's one thing we could probably do more of, and I think people really enjoyed it. Two, what was it? Oh, I think kind of what more broadly that falls into, and part of the strategic plan is kind of like, how are we getting intergenerational, all ages programming? And by all ages, not just we can all go watch this performance, but how are we getting people in a community attending this program, engaging with each other through the library. Like we can be a conduit to have kind of to grow these relationships and to make these connections stronger. If we all attend a program not knowing each other, what is our role as the library to get us to introduce ourselves to each other, to kind of have that shared experience? And I leave this program and I now know like Connie and Michael and Dolly and this girl with the glasses over here, but I forget her name. And it's like, but I remember her. Next time I see her, I'm like, wait, you went to that birding pro. Like, hey. And it feels like if we can create stronger connections and relationships and be mindful about that is like kind of another way that broadly I think we could grow.
Really lovely answers and really exciting that you're thinking in these terms to kind of never be satisfied with the status quo, which is really important because life is changing constantly and needs and demands change constantly. So I think we can pull this to an end. And I do want to say, is there any department or any group within the entire San Francisco library system who is not touched and does not participate and contribute to Summer Stride? I mean, this is an all hands on deck activity. And so I not only want to thank the committee for their leadership and the two of you for your wonderful presentation and your ongoing leadership, I want to thank each and every staff member at every branch and in the bookmobiles everywhere who really make this a shining program of the library, because it could not happen otherwise. It's not just a one-off, it is all embracing. So thank you very, very much for the work you do, and congratulations on the success this year. And we are already looking forward to next year's presentation and, of course, activities. And personally, I'm hoping for a different color t-shirt next year.
That's incorrect, I think.
But
congratulations to all of you and all of us for like supporting all of this.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Okay, we will now move on to item number 4, which is another great opportunity here at the commission meetings, which is our city librarian's report. So I turn it over to our most amazing city librarian, Michael Lambert.
Thank you so much, President Wolf. We have a number of reports lined up this evening, and I'm pleased to introduce our first presenter. Naomi Jelks is serving as our main library manager, but for the past few years, she has been our racial equity manager. And tonight, she is going to be presenting on progress towards our racial equity goals.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Naomi Jelks. I'm the main library manager, and I'm going to talk to you about the Racial Equity Action Plan Progress Report. This is the annual report submitted by the library to the Office of Racial Equity, where we share the work we have achieved over the past fiscal year. Today's presentation will cover the following topics: review of the racial equity practices the library implemented in FY25, review of equity practices prioritized in 26, and some next steps. In the annual progress report submitted to the Office of Racial Equity, the overarching question asked is, what is the racial equity practice that your department has implemented in the last year? In FY25, SFPL formally established several affinity groups, which includes the BIPOC affinity group, led by racial equity analyst Hernan Acevedo, the Black or African American Affinity Group, led by African American Center Manager Shauna Sherman, and the Latinx Affinity Group, led by Latinx Program Manager Francisco Cardonas. These convenings create a sense of community and well-being for staff that in turn increases their sense of belonging, which brings greater job satisfaction. This fiscal year, the Human Resources partnered with library staff and Affinity Center program managers to strengthen our recruitment efforts. The Partnerships, Outlets, and Pipeline Initiative aims to increase applicant pool and diversity by identifying and leveraging outlets and partnerships. For example, we found that by having diverse staff table at employment events such as this year's Reckon Park Citywide Job Fair, prospective employees were given the opportunity to talk directly to staff who deliver library services, which helps them better decide if a career at the library is really for them. And it's a fun way for the library to connect with community. One of the things that we've learned through the 5 years of focused equity work is ensuring our library programs really align with our strategic priorities. Greater clarity surrounding our priorities and community benefit has guided our programming this year. For example, this past Saturday, the PhilAm Center activated the Fulton Street Plaza with a community celebration on the history of San Francisco Filipino-American boxing. In addition, our annual Comic Arts Fest focused on uplifting Tenderloin youth through art and literature really exemplifies the library role as cultural amplifier. Helping facilitate cultural experiences that celebrate and deepen understanding of the diverse communities of San Francisco. As we move through this fiscal year, I really look forward to the different ways Vision 2030 will continue to express itself in how we serve the public and how we grow as a department. This concludes my presentation. I want to thank each and every one of you for your many years of support in this equity work and as we embark on Vision 2030. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Naomi. All right, our next presenter just stepped out, but I know she is going to walk through that door at any moment. So in the meantime, I just want to plug something exciting that just happened on Tuesday. We returned from our Native and Indigenous Peoples Day holiday, 3-day weekend, and there's now a beautiful mural on display on the first floor in the atrium. It is delightful. It is just so colorful and energetic and inspiring. It is done by a Native and Indigenous artist, and It's on the stairwell leading up to our Fisher Children's Center. And it is just the latest example of our exhibitions team curating incredible experiences for people in our physical locations. Sure, go ahead.
If you don't mind, I think it's so fantastic. You know, we have a beautiful mural down here in the community room down here that's really outstanding. And that seems to be permanent. Is this mural that is on the stairwell, is that considered to be time-based, or is that there for perpetuity?
Michelle, do you want to talk a little bit about this?
It's just nice that we are, the building is being filled with this, these kinds of murals.
So it is for 2 years is the plan, because murals in the public art, because it came from the commission, murals are treated as not permanent generally in the collection of the city's public art collection. They have a lifespan usually. So this is planned for 2 years, but it may be extended longer. But it allows us to also look at it and think about what shape it's in after 2 years and whether it is worthy of staying up. But we do have a set time that we could take it down.
All right. And I see Allison Wyckoff has returned, our director of exhibitions. And she has a very exciting presentation on our exhibition highlights. And I've got the clicker for you right here, Alice.
Sorry about that. I thought I was after Lori. And I went up to get something really special that I wanted to share with everyone. But hello, thank you so much for the invitation to present at today's Library Commission meeting. Let me just catch my breath. I'm thrilled to introduce the current slate of exhibitions and share what's upcoming to finish out the calendar year. It's been a busy one all around, as we've heard today. On October 2nd, we opened the current Jewett Gallery exhibition, Living Tattoo Traditions, American Irezumi and Beyond, to great reception. The opening party had 954 people in attendance and was a fantastic show of community, featuring taiko drumming and an opportunity for visitors to share their tattoo stories, which were caught on video, and that those videos just went live on YouTube, so you can find them there. San Francisco Public Library exhibitions provide a platform for artists and curators to share the stories of our diverse communities. And Living Tattoo Traditions is an exemplar of community co-curation and the transformative power of art and storytelling to connect, to build community, and to inspire. The exhibition was co-curated with Taki and Molly Kitamura and explores the role of tattoos and tattooing in healing, connecting to cultural heritage, and reclaiming identity and traditions, and presents a narrative that has the potential to change perceptions of the practice. As the photos, material objects, and the interviews show, tattooing is a high art form that is continually informed by and evolving through culture, identity, and place, and the masterworks tattoos are often inspired by. The library co-produced a 250-page exhibition catalog showcasing even more photos and stories with Hardy Marks Publications, the premier tattoo-related publishing house. And that's what I went upstairs to get. It's right here. In addition, we have a robust suite of satellite displays connecting to San Francisco Public Library collections and a series of programs. Later this month, we open Fashioning Bay Area Punk, Style Subversion Shock, which pulls from the San Francisco Punk Archive. In November, a magazine for every interest, a magazine for every tattoo, opens in the magazines and periodical center. And in December, Inked Zodiac, The Art of Jimmy Shai, opens in the Chinese Center. We're finishing out a busy year of exhibitions with a diverse lineup of projects. In addition to what's listed on this slide, elements of the Skateboarding San Francisco exhibition are currently on view at the Ortega Branch before moving to Western Addition in 2026. And a highlight I'm excited to share that I hope you'll be able to see before you leave tonight, if you haven't already, is Atem Tuhe, the new mural on the stairs in the atrium, which leads to the museum or the main children's center. The mural is a vinyl reproduction of a painting by artist Belen Islas, celebrating indigenous storytelling traditions as an intergenerational expression of wisdom and knowledge sharing. This was a partnership with Jonathan Cordero, the executive director of the Association of the Ramaytush Ohlone and the San Francisco Arts Commission. We finished the year producing over 25 exhibitions and displays at the main and the branches, from exhibitions that celebrate and uplift to those that educate and inform. You can see from this small list, there's truly art for everyone here. We're encouraged by the outcomes of the exhibitions we're producing, which demonstrate the appetite that our local communities have for innovative, educational, and topical exhibitions. The stats on the slide show the Jewett Gallery attendance numbers for the five exhibitions the current team has produced since the fall of 2023. And to note, Jewett Gallery is the only exhibition space with an audience tracker, which is why we don't have numbers for other exhibitions outside of that location. Total attendance for these five shows is just over 28,000 visitors, with Skateboarding San Francisco having the highest attendance in the library's recorded history with close to 11,000 visitors. We measure success as well through publicity, and you can see some of the news outlets who've run pieces on different exhibitions, including video segments, New York Times and KQED articles, and an SFGov TV documentary. We also measure success through partnerships and community engagement, and we're partnering with arts and cultural institutions like ArtSpan, the Arts Commission, the Tenderloin Museum, and Further Triennial, to name a few. And we also measure success through audience participation with interactive elements and visitor comments. Some things visitors are saying are, "Thank you for the education and the exhibition. I have a lot to think about. Hearing from the artist is always amazing, no matter the art form, history, passion, culture, representation, tattoos have that and more. Love from Amsterdam, it was amazing, felt very inspired. And thank you, San Francisco Library, for this exhibit. Seeing this is my whole heart." As we continue to build on the exhibition and strategic planning visions, our goal is to increase audience engagement with the arts and inspire deeper learning through educational and artistic exhibitions and installations, related programming, showcasing San Francisco Public Library collections, and collaborations with guest curators and artist commissions. And earlier this year, the exhibitions team received the Cultural Amplifier Award at an all-staff meeting. This was an honor to receive, and through exhibitions, we will continue working to drive foot traffic into the library's physical branches and help refresh public perception of the library as a place to engage with and learn about the arts. While the library has been a longtime host of exhibitions from beloved community artist groups such as San Francisco's Friends of Calligraphy and the Handbook Binders of California, our still newish team's vision is to bring in a younger generation of visitors and to broaden our reach to a diverse audience that mirrors the demographics of the city. I conclude with the team's continued commitment to making the library an artful destination. As we whet visitors' appetites through exhibitions, installations, and exhibition-related programming, we provide an entry to artful learning that we hope encourages patrons to check out a Discover and Go Pass so they can explore arts and cultural institutions across the Bay Area. Offering no-barrier access to art and ideas is critical to helping San Francisco maintain a healthy arts ecosystem, and we take our role in that very seriously. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Allison. All right, our closer tonight is Lori Tallarico. She has a very exciting announcement. Take it away, Lori.
Good evening. I'm Lori Tallarico, Adult Community Engagement Coordinator with Community Programs and Partnerships. And I'm here to talk about One City, One Book. Each year, One City, One Book brings San Franciscans together around a single work of literature that sparks dialogue and conversation. This year's book bridges science and story. It's a memoir about the human side of AI, touching on empathy, belonging, and ethical innovation, values that align perfectly with San Francisco's spirit of curiosity and inclusion. I'm excited to share our 2025 One City, One Book selection, The Worlds I See by Dr. Fei-Fei Li. A little bit about the book. The book follows Dr. Li from her childhood in China to becoming a leading voice in AI. It blends her immigrant story with the evolution of modern AI, reflecting on creating technology that serves people, not power. She explores how poverty, mentorship, and education shaped her belief that technology should be guided by compassion and ethics. It's a moving meditation on curiosity, resilience, and human imagination at the start of a new technological era. A little bit about Dr. Li. She's a professor at Stanford and the co-director for the Institute of Human-Centered AI. She previously led Stanford's AI lab and was chief scientist of AI and machine learning at Google Cloud. She co-founded World Labs, exploring spatial intelligence and generative AI, and she's recognized worldwide for pioneering ImageNet. She shaped both how machines see and how we see how we imagine AI's potential to serve society. Our main author event is on December 17th. It will feature Dr. Li in conversation with journalist Adam Leshinsky here at Corrette to discuss her scientific breakthroughs, the moral dilemmas of AI, and her journey as an immigrant scientist shaping the future. For related programs, of course, we will have a series of librarian-led book clubs citywide to give online readers a space to reflect on Dr. Li's ideas on how AI is changing their daily lives. But we do have additional programming that expands on the book's themes through three different strands: technology, storytelling, and human curiosity. Each of those strands is centered around an different book discussion. For exploring AI in the future, we've brought in author D. Kai and his book, Raising AI. That strand will also include programs like Navigating AI, Intro to AI Tools, put on by St. Anthony's and the Tenderloin Technology Lab, a screening of the film Coded Bias, exploring algorithmic discrimination, and then in virtual programs, AI for Efficiency and AI-powered fundraising for nonprofits, which offer practical ways for professionals to streamline operations and strengthen the impact that they're doing and enhance their creativity. The second strand is Stories of Memory and Identity. It celebrates the personal narratives of and cultural memory reflecting on the book's exploration of belonging. Some highlights include the author, Nina Schuyler, in conversation about her book, Afterward. We have a series of writing programs put on by two different presenters that will encourage participants to draw on their own roots and their own memories and their own imagination to create their own stories. And then finally, in January, we have The Worlds We Built, which will bring in a group of immigrant entrepreneurs to share how their businesses have helped them foster resilience, identity, and community legacy. The final strand is curiosity and wonder. This encourages curiosity as a tool for exploration, this in the same spirit that drives Dr. Li's work. The author talk here is Scott Shigioka, Sikh. He is going to talk about how curiosity can deepen empathy and creativity. We'll have a panel discussion of artists that are using AI to create their own artwork. And then we will have a really fun program on curiosity, creativity, and collaboration across San Francisco. We'll be bringing in people, and they will create a map of the city to examine some curiosities around the city. So I'm excited for that. How that will turn out. And then finally, Imagining Fashion with AI will be creating new fashion designs using AI. And then finally, we're going to wrap all of this up with San Francisco AI Week. San Francisco AI Week celebrates the city as a hub for AI, uniting city staff, technologists, and residents in a pivotal moment of innovation. In partnership with the city's Emerging Technologies Division, we've created a week that focuses on new tools, civic challenges, and creative applications for AI with a focus on responsible, values-driven adoption. Throughout this week, we'll present programs that show how AI intersects with daily life, including things from art, music, small business, labor, and environmental stewardship, inviting audiences to learn, experiment, and imagine together. And then this week will culminate with our main One City, One Book event, the Author Talk featuring Dr. Lee and The Worlds I See. I could not have done this without our wonderful selection committee, and I want to give a thank you to all of them. Our committee reflects our collaboration across the library and the wider San Francisco community, including SFPL staff, community stakeholders, past and present library commissioners, bringing a diverse perspective and deep knowledge to the city's readers. Together, we work to choose a title that embodies San Francisco's values of innovation, empathy, and inclusion, and reflects the city's diversity and resonates with universal issues and sparks dialogue with throughout public programs. And we are so grateful to our many partners, as well as local authors, artists, and educators who've helped make all of these library programs centered around the book possible. These collaborations help turn the library into a hub where science, storytelling, and civic imagination meet, helping San Franciscans explore how curiosity and compassion can help shape our future together. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. And that concludes the City Librarian's report.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Really, once again, another robust series of presentations. And before we bring it to the Commission for comments and questions, I will now open it up for a public comment on the City Librarian's report. Public comment is now open here in Corrett Auditorium.
Thank you. Peter Warfield, Executive Director, Library Users Association, P.O. Box 170544, San Francisco, California, 94117-0544. I see the cool new glasses that the city librarian has, as well as a different outfit than usual. As usual, I appreciate the presentations very much, especially the especially the first one, I hope that the library will continue to do its activities independently of what seems to be a lot of pressure coming from outside the library, outside even the city, without going into details. The One City, One Book, it doesn't sound like this is a particularly critical book about the impacts of AI, which are very significant in major ways, including environmental impact on water and electricity, which it uses huge quantities of, and which there are already reports about areas that are having higher electricity costs as a result of data center installations that are servicing AI and so on. In general, I wish that the selection of books, again, without saying anything bad about the book that has been selected or about its value, there is a side of AI that's very problematic. I can say that the governor has just signed some AI guardrails, you might call them, regulations to shrink the dangers. And SFAI Week sounds like a rah-rah for AI. Again, there are some serious problems with AI that ought to be known and publicized. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment on this agenda item? Seeing there's no further public comment's now closed and correct, and we now open it up for comments and questions from the commissioners. Just a reminder, we had three outstanding presentations on a wide array of topics. Naomi and her presentation on racial equity, Allison and the presentation on exhibitions, and Lori on the presentation of One City, One Book. This really does represent quite a spectrum of the way in which the staff presents and provides extraordinary resources and opportunities not for the public as well as internally for the staff. Comments, questions? Commissioner Lopez.
Thank you to all the presenters. Naomi, thank you for doing double shift. I know, you know, you're being transitioned, but continue to do the work. Thank you so much. You may or may not know, but for the affinity groups, that's for the staff, correct?
Correct.
And then do they have a specific time what they need, or is that an ongoing, do they have an ongoing agenda or...
Yeah, I'm going to, thank you for your question. I'm going to call up Hernan Acevedo. He's one of the leads for the affinity group, so he can share his experience and how they're organized.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Commission. My name is Hernan. So the Black staff meets every month. They usually meet on a Thursday after lunch. The Latinx affinity group has been constant meeting every month, and that's usually the first Thursday of every month as well. The BIPOC affinity group, we've been trying to meet every other month just because of like the added responsibilities, but that's usually how long it lasts.
Thank you. I feel like these are so important, and having the space. So thank you for the work. And, I feel like continuing this effort only strengthens us as the San Francisco Public Library. So thank you for the staff that participate on this affinity groups as well.
No, it's our pleasure. I also wanted to make mention of the fact that the city is looking to create kind of a standard model for affinity groups within the city. So Hernan attends those meetings and shares some of the best practices of our affinity groups. And I think, are they looking to have that completed this fiscal year?
Yeah, right now their DHR is working with the city attorney to kind of have like some standardized language around affinity groups, just because, you know, everything is going on. But yeah, that it's they're trying to standardize that so that everybody, there's like a common language across all departments, because not all departments have it, and we're one of the few that do.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Commissioner Huang, Vice President Huang.
Thanks all for all the presentations. I just wanted to add a set of comments on the One City, One Book selection. I knew this is where the library is going to do more stuff in AI at some point. But I just wanted to add some color on the selection. I think it's actually quite remarkable that the committee ended up landing on this particular author for this topic. It's quite a divisive sort of temperature around AI. It's really hard to strike a balance that will not sort of make the majority of people upset. And it's just really hard to figure out what that nuance is. And I find Dr. Lee, my understanding of the general impression of her in particular is that she is optimistic without being fanatical about AI, and also cautious while not being a curmudgeon about things. And that balance is really important. And I'm hopeful that the events and the programming that you're putting together surrounding that continue to carry that balance. I live out in the West Side, and, you know, we have these like posters up on telephone poles that say stop AI, like join the protest, and we're going to be protesting at these. And then of course, like if you go online, you have these folks who are sort of like willfully sort of like AI at all costs, so to speak, right? And so naturally, like it feels like the right discussion temperature is somewhere in the middle of that. And so I'll be curious to see and learn about kind of like how people who are attending these programs end up reacting to that. But anyways, all that's to say, I just found this particular selection to be, in my opinion, right. Like it is like a very sort of good choice for if we are going to talk about AI, it's probably like best to do it through a selection like this. So props to the committee and for the team and your work and putting together all the sort of follow-on programming to cover so many different elements, considering how many different people have been talking about the topic and exposed to it and things like that. And I'm sure there's so many more questions than that we haven't uncovered yet. So excited to see the community dig in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to add something else, Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, I just wanted to add to something on the exhibitions. Allison, I think that you're doing a great job. I enjoy the different exhibitions that it's really, when I think of exhibitions, there's like a little bit of everything for everyone. I'm not surprised that the skateboarding made it a hit. I'm pretty sure someone in this table had some influence on that as a former, you know, as a skateboarder. But just, I like how, you know, how it's culturally relevant, but there are also exhibitions that are provoking and the intergenerational audience that you reach. So great job to your team. I know the tattoo was commented a lot. I follow a lot of the comments, and it was like, you know, something that I probably wouldn't have thought about it, but I know it received a lot of attention, so thank you for all the work. Yep.
Thank you. So I have a couple of comments. Just going down the list, racial equity. Naomi, thank you so much for the presentation and the update. I think what I found most encouraging about the presentation is recognizing where we started and where we are today, and recognizing that the topic of these issues are no longer kind of separate from, like they're not these topics over here, but it feels like they're being institutionalized, integrated, and becoming an integral part of how the library does business and how it thinks about its constituents in all the communities, as well as its staff internally that is making this happen. So it's really nice to see that progression and the deepening and the way in which it's becoming part of the fabric and the foundation of the library, and not an add-on or something separate. So I just want to say thank you. It's really great to see.
No, thank you for that comment. When we started this work, when we started Vision 2030, I wouldn't say skeptical, but I was curious as how we would, for all the work we've done with racial equity and just the work we do in general at the library, how it would all play out, because it was a pretty labor-intensive process to get feedback from the public, from staff, and to kind of land and stand on what Vision 2030 is. And so in the conversations that I had with Michael, with Maureen, and several members of the M team, really emphasizing the ways that we can integrate the racial equity work that we've been doing to be represented in Vision 2030. So I think where we stand now, I feel very confident in now what we've learned as an organization, the many hours of workshops and trainings, not only for the affinity leads like myself, Alejandro, et cetera, but also for the staff, and that they have tools to work with to carry this work forward where we're standing under the umbrella of Vision 2030.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. So it feels like it's really moving and deepening in a really organic and really good way. So it just won't ever, like regardless of 2030, it's there.
Agreed.
Which is really great. So thank you for that. And Allison, you know I'm a big fan of the exhibitions program. And I think the one thing that you didn't talk a lot about, which I think is really impressive, is the way in which the team brings excerpts of exhibitions and other kinds of exhibitions to the branches, so that if you are living in a part of the city and aren't coming to the main library, there are opportunities for you to have these visual, very rich visual experiences. And while you can't count the number of people participating, they are incredibly meaningful. And so I just want to say that the program that you are really ensuring really does reach all parts of the city, and it's really exciting. And of course, just so wonderful to see that you're being so responsive to thinking about today and what people are interested in, and finding ways to enrich their knowledge and deepen their knowledge. And, you know, a good exhibition makes you hopefully come in with, you think you have the answers, but you leave with a lot of good questions. And I think that you're really setting that up for, in a sense, sparking curiosity and more ways of learning, which is what we want people to do when they're here at the library. So thank you for that. And finally, I just have to say that one of my great pleasures in being a citizen of the city of San Francisco is serving on the One City, One Book Committee. I think that this community should be enormously proud of the range of authors that live in this area that we get to select from. It's never an easy task to find the right book. So, and getting a vote of confidence from my colleague Pete here is like, wow, that was really great.
Did great, Connie.
And but I want to just say that it is, we live in such an amazing community of writers and who are exploring through nonfiction, through fiction. I'm just was so happy that Tommy Orange, who was one of our selections a few years ago, just was awarded a MacArthur Genius Award this past week. These are people who are taking risks, who are doing incredible work, and so it is an honor to be able to select a book. It's never easy because there are so many options. So I really want to thank you, Lori, Alejandro, and Michelle, really for leading the effort and guiding us through. And I also want to thank the Friends, who are really great partners in all of this, to make it happen. So it's going to be really exciting. It's always different. It's always new. And it's really wonderful. So I think we're ending this portion of the meeting just feeling so grateful for what the staff is doing, how they're doing it, and the impact they're having in the community, listening to our community members, and really advancing how the library becomes a new phrase I've embraced, becoming real community anchors for every community in this city. So thank you very much. So now we come to our final agenda item of the meeting, and it really is such an incredible moment when we're able to honor people who have had such enduring impact to our city, our community, through their work and connections to the library. And today is no exception. It is really an honor to be able to adjourn our meeting in this way. And I turn it over to our city librarian.
Thank you, President Wolf. I appreciate this opportunity to pay tribute to former Library Commissioner Helen Marte Bautista. It was just last month I ran into Abraham Ignacio, our retired Filipino Center librarian, at a library program. And he asked me if I had heard about the passing of our dear former library commissioner. I had not heard the news, but he shared with me that she passed away earlier this year in February. With the support of our Filipino Center program librarians, and I see Mel Reyes in the audience, thank you for being here, I was able to glean that Commissioner Bautista passed away on February 26, 2025, at 83 years young, at the Mayo Seniors Senior Citizens Residence Facility in Cebu City, Philippines. It saddened me to hear the news, as she was one of the first former library commissioners that I ever came into contact with when I was hired as the deputy city librarian. She was such a delightful, elegant lady, always impeccably dressed and exuding such warm, positive energy. She stayed in contact with our former Library Commission secretary and my retired executive assistant, meeting them for an annual holiday lunch every year. I would periodically see Commissioner Bautista at various city functions, including the annual celebration of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month at City Hall. As background, she was appointed to the Library Commission by Mayor Willie Brown in 2000 for her first term, before she was reappointed by Mayor Gavin Newsom in 2005, serving until 2008. During her tenure as a library commissioner, the library commenced the Branch Library Improvement Program, also known as BLIP, to build and refurbish 24 neighborhood branch libraries. This measure initiated a nearly $200 million capital program to update, revitalize, and preserve the San Francisco branch library system. She was also a library commissioner in 2007 when San Franciscans again demonstrated their support by passing Proposition D with a staggering 75% of the vote. Proposition D renewed the Library Preservation Fund and secured the library's future. It also authorized the issuance of lease revenue bonds to secure funding to complete the Branch Library Improvement Program, which was in trouble with funding at that time. She once recounted to me that during her tenure, she used to tap our community redistribution program to send metal shipping containers full of deaccession books from our collection to the Philippines. She was also a member of the National Federation of Filipino American Associations, NAFA, Region 8, covering Northern California. She chaired the food committee for the first Filipino American History Month celebration in 2005. She was a longtime resident of San Francisco, and she taught for more than 50 years in the San Francisco Unified School District. She served as a board member for the International Hotel Senior Housing, Incorporated. She was also on the iHotel Block Development Advisory Committee in 1979 and the iHotel Citizen Advisory Committee in 1980. She is survived by her only daughter, Andraliz Bautista, who I believe is in attendance today. She was buried in Leyte with her father and stepmother in the family mausoleum. This evening, let us remember Commissioner Bautista for her passionate leadership and commitment to literacy and education throughout her lifetime. May she rest in power. Commissioners, I appreciate your consideration of adjourning today's meeting in memory of Helen Marte Bautista.
Thank you very much, City Librarian, for that beautiful tribute. I think we'll have a chance to say a few comments, but per our regulations, we now open this up for public comment, and we welcome any members of the family to speak, so thank you. Public comments now open here in Corette.
Hello, and thank you. And thank you for all that information that I did not know about my mother. So my name is Andraliz, and I'm here with my family, my husband, Mark, my daughters, Lily and Katie McLeod, and my aunt and uncle, Faith and Paul Kroger. And I just wanted to thank you for taking time out of your meeting to honor my mom. Just briefly, because I know I have 1 minute and 25 seconds left. But my mom's life was, you know, this beautiful tapestry of love and service and culture. And she dedicated herself to her family, her students, the Filipino community, and the city of San Francisco, which she deeply cherished. From her early age years in Manila to her long, remarkable career here, my mom lived with purpose, always lifting others through education, the arts, and action. As a teacher, she inspired generations of students to see the world and creativity and confidence. In her classroom, students just didn't learn English or drama. They learned dignity, self-expression, and the belief that they could make a difference. Through dance, my mom kept Philippine tradition alive, believing that culture was a bridge connecting generations and communities. Skipping the part that you already talked about. So to me, you know, she was not only my mother, but also a role model and guide. She was fearless. When she believed in something, nothing could stop her. She taught me that true success comes from service, from using your gifts to make lives better for others. And to my daughters, Lily and Katie, well, I'll text you the rest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was quite beautiful. Any further public comment?
Peter Warfield, P.O. Box 170544, San Francisco, California, 94117-0544. Thank you very much. I'm probably the only one, other than the family in the room, who remembers the library commissioner from 2000 to 2008. Commissioner Batista was always full of curiosity, energy, and interest. She always seemed to particularly enjoy wherever she was. With respect to her library commission career, I remember that very early, and maybe from the very beginning, she made it a project to visit every single library location. And as far as I know, she succeeded. I'm not sure if I kept track fully, but she was full of enthusiasm for that and for asking questions, for participating in discussion. And I also would run into her at a variety of events around the city. They could be civic events. They certainly could be library events and library programs. And that, too, she seemed to enjoy tremendously. She was a very, very petite woman. And yet, even if there was a crowd of people towering over her nearby, she was like sunshine, full of enthusiasm, full of energy, and full of enjoyment in just being alive and being present and being available with basically everybody and anybody who was around her, who she would converse with, listen to, speak with, and so on, with a lot of, I would say, love and certainly appreciation and interest. She was really a many rays of sunshine. Thank you.
Thank you very much for adding to the incredible contributions and fabric of what she has done for our city and her family and the libraries. Any further public comment? Seeing there's no further public comment's now closed, and I open it up before we adjourn the meeting in honor and in tribute to Commissioner Batista. I open this up for any additional comments here. I think we can all agree, I can speak on behalf of the commissioners, that there's nothing that makes us more proud and also more dedicated to learn about the commissioners who came before us and the pathways they have created to allow us to continue the work that we do. It's an honor to serve in this capacity, and it's even a bigger honor to know that we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, who paved the way to really make this library such a meaningful place, but also who dedicated their lives to the city beyond their role as a commissioner, and being reminded of what it means to be an extraordinarily generous and good human being, and their commitment to humanity, serving in the San Francisco Public School District for 3 decades, being part of the community in so many ways. It really is an honor to sit up here knowing that we're following in the pathway that she helped charge, and we hope that we can have an impact, even a small little part of the huge impact that she has made. That would be an amazing goal that we all hold. So it is really an honor to end the meeting in her honor and to pay tribute to her legacy. So do we have a motion to conclude the meeting in honor of Helen Marta Bautista?
I motion.
Do we have a second?
A second.
So we have a motion to conclude and adjourn our meeting in honor of Helen Marta Bautista by Commissioner Bolander, and it is seconded by Vice President Huang.
And I'll take the roll call. Commissioners, please say aye or no when I call your name. President Wolf?
Aye.
Vice President Huang?
Aye.
Commissioner Lopez?
Aye.
Commissioner Bolander?
Aye.
The meeting, the motion passes unanimously, and the meeting is now over. Just want to say thank you to the family who came today. It really is an honor to have you here and to be able to share this incredible moment with you and to learn more about your mother's, your grandmother's, your sister's history and legacy. Thank you.